Pope Francis likes to remind us that God is a God of surprises. What the Pope means by this is that God is not under our control. He doesn't fit into our patterns of understanding. He does things his own way. God is a God of surprises. Well, here we are on the second Sunday of Advent, and I'd like to reflect on a few surprises that are part of this day. The first surprise is a simple one. It's about December 8th, which most people know is the date of the great solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you came into the church this afternoon thinking, well, today's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, you might be surprised to find out that actually it's not. It's the second Sunday of Advent. So we have purple instead of white. Now this can be confusing and surprising because the government, since 2017, has declared December 8th as a special non-working holiday in honor of the Immaculate Conception. And for the government, that is still today, December 8th. So if you had to work today, you should get paid double. I think that's how it works, double or 70% or something like that. But in the church, we follow a different calendar. We don't follow the calendar of the government. And in the church, we realize that the Sundays of Advent are very important, even more important than the celebration of the Immaculate Conception. But the Immaculate Conception is also essential, so we don't lose it. We simply transfer it to the next day, tomorrow. So this year, this is the surprise, this year the Immaculate Conception will be celebrated on December 9, not December 8. To give way for this Sunday liturgy. Why is this so important? Because this is our time of preparation. If we don't prepare, we're not ready. That's how simple it is. We have to prepare. Now, with that thought mentioned, let me just add this additional part to this first surprise. Even though we're not celebrating the Immaculate Conception yet, we do get a hint of it in today's second reading. And you might not have noticed it. This is St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Listen to what he says. This is my prayer, his prayer for the Philippians, that your love may increase more, ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Pure and blameless is the key there. For the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Pure and blameless means spiritually clean. It means without sin. It means immaculate. Now, he's not talking about Immaculate Conception because he knows the Philippians are sinners who need to be made pure and clean, just like all of us. But he says, and this is the remarkable thing in his prayer. He says, if we're growing in love and if we're discerning what is of value and what's not of value, then on the day when Christ comes again, we will be ready, and he's the one who will make us pure and blameless. So Mary, our Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception, is a sign of what God has in mind for all of us. And that's part of what we're preparing for, to be made pure and blameless. We're not there yet. Certainly the world is not there. We're not there. That should be obvious to all of us. So we have work to do. That's the work of Advent. Okay, first surprise is that we're not at the Immaculate Conception yet. Second surprise, at least I thought it was a surprise, in today's gospel, there is no mention of Jesus. Now, this is really unusual because the gospel is almost always the words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, something. But in today's gospel, no. The second reading mentions Jesus, or Christ, four times. But there's no mention of Jesus in the gospel. There's no mention of Joseph. There's no mention of Mary. There's no mention of any of the apostles. Why? Because of the two aspects of Advent, which we learned last Sunday, we're preparing both for the coming of the Lord at Christmas and for the second coming of the Lord at the end of time. And the second reading, in the second reading, St. Paul is talking about the second coming, the day of Christ Jesus. That's what he's praying the Philippians will be ready for, that second coming. But in the Gospel passage, St. Luke, here, chapter 3, he's referring to the first coming. And we realize, okay, he has not yet come. He's not on the scene yet. Well, he has come at this time, but he's still hidden in his hidden life. So all the focus of today's Gospel is on the one who's preparing the way, St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist is one of the key figures of the Advent season, which makes sense because his whole mission is to prepare the way for the Lord, and that's what Advent is all about, to prepare the way of the Lord. Okay, so that surprise, Jesus isn't mentioned. Here's a third surprise, and this comes from the Gospel. The surprise is, and God is a God of surprises, how he enters into human history and what he asks of us. This is a biblical pattern, and St. Luke here makes it as obvious as he can that God doesn't do things the way we would do them or the way we would expect him to do them. So Luke starts by mentioning all the most powerful and influential and important men of the time, beginning with the Roman government, the Roman emperor, the most powerful man in the world at that time, Tiberius Caesar. Okay, Tiberius Caesar, and under him, the governor of that region, Pontius Pilate, and then the kings of that region. First of all, Herod, who we know about, Herod Antipas, his brother Philip, and then the other tetrarch is Lysanias. Those are government leaders of the highest rank. And then Luke goes on to mention who are the most powerful, influential people among the Jews. The high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. So Luke is setting us up for something big. He's talking about all the most important people, the most powerful people, and we're supposed to expect some powerful figure will come to Athens or to Rome or to Jerusalem, someone in the capital, someone in the temple. But no. And this is the surprise. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. In the desert, in the wilderness, where there's no people, John, a nobody, a strange figure in strange clothing, eating strange foods, that's the one God chooses to be the instrument for preparation. So God doesn't do things our way. And he invites us to do things his way. We saw this 2 weeks ago, if you remember the great solemnity of Christ the King, King of the universe. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews?" What was Jesus' answer? "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not of this world. It doesn't work the way you work. I don't think the way you think. I'm going to take you by surprise, Pilate. So in Advent, we're not preparing for the visit of a world leader. We're not preparing for Trump or Putin or Xi Jinping or, I don't know what, Bill Gates or Elon Musk or any other powerful figure in the world or of the world. No, we're preparing for the coming of the Lord. So worldly preparations are not the key to Advent because we're not preparing for a worldly leader. So all the shopping and all the decorations and the gifts and the cooking of special foods is beautiful, but that's not the most important part, right? What's the key? To understand the key, we need the help of John the Baptist. His mission is to prepare the way of the Lord. And how does he do it? By proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance. Sins. We don't like to hear talk like this. We're not ready to be reminded that we need repentance. It sounds so negative to us. Isn't Advent supposed to be a time of joy and hope and preparation? Yes, joy, hope, and preparation. And one of the essential elements of preparation is the problem of sin. And one of the reasons why we can have hope is because the problem of sin can really be dealt with the power of God. After all, what is it that leaves us unprepared for the coming of the Lord? What is it that robs us of hope? What is it that robs us of joy? It's sin. Sin. We could even say sin is the only problem. It's the only problem. Not having a queso de bola is not a problem. But having sin is a problem. Our sins, the sins of other people, the sins of the world, structures of sin, a sin-damaged world, yes. So John calls for repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The image that the readings use, the famous Advent images, are valleys and mountains. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. It's symbolic language, of course. We're not talking about physical obstacles, we're talking about spiritual or moral obstacles to the coming of the Lord. Whatever prevents us from following God, or whatever prevents us from welcoming the presence of God. So, what are these mountains? What are the mountains in our lives? Very often it's a mountain of materialism, pile up things, a mountain of gadgets, or maybe it's a mountain of useless activity, or maybe a mountain of social networking, or a mountain of selfies, or a mountain of keeping up with politics, or a mountain of following the celebrity gossip of the day, or whatever's filling us up and getting in the way. And then when we fill ourselves up with all these things that are not that valuable, it leaves a void in us, a valley. Mountains and valleys are opposite, right? But they're related. Because if we're excessive about one thing, we're usually neglecting something else. So when we fill ourselves up with social media, very often we're neglecting our personal relationships in our own household. We create a valley of loneliness, a valley of isolation. What's missing? Patience, generosity, concern, love. These are valleys. They have to be filled in. Okay, now we don't simply conclude by identifying mountains and valleys or crooked ways or rough ways. John tells us the reason why it's so important to do this work of preparation. It's a joyful reason. It's a glorious reason, the reason to repent. Because of what we are preparing for, actually, and because of who's preparing us, we're preparing for the coming of the Lord, who is our Savior. He saves us from sin. Listen again to the end of today's gospel. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Don't forget, we're preparing to see the salvation of God. We're not simply preparing smooth mountains and valleys. We're preparing to see the salvation of our God. The one who comes to us is Jesus Christ. So let us allow ourselves to be surprised. Meaning, let us allow God to take charge of our Advent. Let us be surprised by his goodness, by his mercy. He's coming to save us. The psalm which we sang in this mass had this beautiful refrain: "The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy."